You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com. Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right, let's get straight into this shit. I've waited long enough. These lads literally refusing to entertain me, so I'll do it on my own. The one non-negotiable as a Leicester City fan is you do not lose to Cov, and not in the manner that we did last week. I'm still fuming. I'm livid. You just don't. You don't do that. They're horrible. I mean, I don't even give a shit that we're still 25 points ahead of them. And that we're 10 points ahead of Southampton in third. I don't care. I'm not bothered. And I did not enjoy Dewsbury Hall's comments either. Don't want to hear it. There's a time and place where you just hold your hands up and say we weren't good enough. It's like, I feel like we've been done over the head by a bag of dog shit by some local scrubbers in a Lonsdale tracksuit. So what? What are we going to do? We've got nothing to answer. When are we next going to play them? It's infuriating. And those that think that we're in control of the game at half time or even before Fatawu got sent off. Bullshit. Or what, you come out of that Saturday, 12:30, into them. We haven't played them for years, bar the opening game of the season, but you just don't do it. Literally, poncing about with a ball, that is not a derby. It's not. And I don't know where the others are, and I'll carry on my own. You just don't do it. I'm livid.
Finish, mate?
All right, mate.
I didn't realise we were actually live on Twitter, which amused me when I saw that tweet pop up. You've been holding that in for a few days, haven't you?
I'm still not over it. I'm not. I don't think I will be. Even if we win on Monday, as far as I'm concerned, the season's done. You don't do that. You don't. It doesn't matter. I've been supporting Leicester since 1990. Cov have probably beaten us in that amount of time, what, three or four times? We just don't lose to them. You just don't. You can't do what we've done and then just say it's one of them, because it's not. You can't.
Everybody's had a drink.
We ain't had enough, and I hadn't even been boozing on Saturday. That was the other main issue.
Yeah, maybe you should have. Maybe you should have, Rick.
Well, no, I don't know whether... I didn't speak for about 2 days after. I couldn't. Honestly. And then on the school run, there's... some of the teachers at Oscar School are Coventry fans, which was my worst nightmare. Hang on, Liz has just burnt herself on the log burner. Brilliant. You're right. Oh, my God. Carry it anyway, yeah.
Is she all right?
I think so. You're all right? Yeah. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Are you hosting?
Oh, yeah. Go on, I'll host. Or I'll start it anyway. So, welcome to the delayed Big Strong Leicester Boys post-Coventry City podcast. Got Jack and Jordan with me. Jake unfortunately can't join us. I think he's still suffering from the aftermath of that debacle as well, but we'll get through it. So I'll go straight to you, Jack. How are you, pal?
I'm all right, mate. I'm a bit tired. I sound a bit croaky. I've had a very long week. Not related to the Coventry game, but just a bit tired, mate. But I'm okay, actually. The 3 minutes of you ranting on your own was very cathartic for me. So thank you for your efforts there.
It's all right, mate. I mean,
good to see your friendly face.
Well, that's it. When you text me earlier and said you were struggling energy wise for being able to present, I said hopefully I'll be able to help you with that, because you know, if there's one thing I'll put on this planet for, it's to make others feel better about themselves. And make them realise they're glad that they ain't me. But I'm glad you're on. And then, Jordan, how are you, pal?
Mate, I'm very well. I'm very well. I'm still getting used to this being live on Twitter at the same time. It's a bit weird watching yourself on Twitter or watching Rick have a rant on Twitter.
This is the debut of us on Twitter. I mean, Jack only decided to sort this out about 10 minutes ago, didn't you, mate?
I only realised we could do it 10 minutes ago. So we've done this for what, almost 18 months now, and I've only just realised we have the ability to do that. It's lifelong learning, Rick.
Well, everything's a work in progress, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's pretty smart, isn't it? You can get tweets over the top.
I know.
Skimo's messages. Do you know what I mean? That's pretty good.
I know, yeah. Look, we can put all sorts on there. So if people have got questions, we can put them. Actually makes it a lot easier, because if Jake's not here, I don't know what we're going to do next. So people can just ask questions if
can
they
can
want.
Can we
write obscenities on the internet?
Can you ring people off Twitter? Can you ring people? Do you know, like you could on Facebook, couldn't you? You could like go in the messenger and call them.
Just drop us a DM. I can plug people in, you know. Like if you want to drop us a DM on Twitter, if you've got something to get off your chest, we'll get you on. It's live.
Anyone want to come on?
Unscripted.
It's a bit worrying, though, isn't it? Because, you know, we can't edit anything out.
Well, me and Jack were just saying this, you know, and I'm usually good for an edit or two an episode. So this could be one of the most short-lived live Twitter arrangements that we've got. But, you know.
I think we need to get Simo on, actually, because he's just sent us a comment. Have you seen? I'm going to put it on screen so you can see this.
Yeah, well, Simo's from Hinckley as well. And obviously, we know that. We had him on Dear Ric Flair before. His wife's a Cov fan and all of her family, I think. So bless him. He must have been suffering more than me. I think he got absolutely garried after the game and was, I'm sure it was Simo, who was in bed at about 8 p.m. being sick everywhere. So fair play, mate.
Good effort.
Straight back up. But I would have bagged up the sick and then delivered it round to all the family. Fuck them.
So, Rick, because you live in Burbage.
Yeah, well, I'm from Burbage. I live in Hinckley now.
Oh, okay, fine.
He lives in the posh bit, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, he does.
Not now, I know.
No. Jordan, he is the posh bit because they own all the land. Like, it's not... He doesn't live in it. He owns it. Apparently, there's a pub landlord in Burbage that was just booting off on Saturday night, I heard, about, you know, Cov being massive.
Well, so apparently... You might have heard. I heard a story. There's I don't know whether it's a Facebook page or a Twitter page called Away Days, Football Away Days or something.
Apparently,
it's ran by a Cov fan.
Yeah.
And he so happens to live in Burbage. And he was in the anchor in Burbage and, gobbing off, apparently.
Is he the landlord of the Hope and Anchor in Burbage?
No, I don't. He's not the, I don't think he's the landlord. I think he just drinks up the anchor. I don't actually know the bloke, but from what I've been told, bit of a penis.
I always thought that account was fairly not biased towards Leicester, but you know, you can't tell that it was a Cov fan running it, given some of the Leicester tweets on there.
Yeah, I always thought it was okay. So maybe, I mean, he's probably just got a bit excited. Fair enough, you know. I'll let him have that. But the annoying thing is, as I said, it's a bit like when, you know, the three of us have been egged over the years and we've talked about this in the past.
No, I've never been egged, mate.
I mean, that's mind-blowing, but okay. But, you know when something humiliating has happened to you?
Well, I once had
you can't do anything about it.
I once had someone, I was walking back from work and a kid threw an apple and it hit me flush in the face when I was working in London.
Well, there you are, mate.
Well, made me quite angry and also embarrassed at the same time because he laughed at me.
Isn't that Saturday summed up with that greasy little urchin Callum O'Hare doing that celebration? I mean, you're fucking livid and there's nothing you can do about it. And we might not play him for years again.
This is what they want.
So the 25-point lead and we might get promoted and they're not. It doesn't mean a lot right now. They've had the small win. They've had the win, haven't they? And what have we got? Nothing. We've got fucking nothing.
I'd rather be us than them, mate.
No, but, I wouldn't right now. Bollocks. I wanted the victory. I wanted both. And I'm greedy enough, and we deserve both. Right? And we ain't got it. First game of the season, we were lucky. Okay, I'll grant it. We turned up, first game, they were better first half, second half we turned it on. But I ain't having that first half performance on Saturday, I'm not. I know you boys have quoted the stats. But a local derby, you haven't played them properly for years, and I don't think we've approached that game thinking it's a derby. We've approached it as another game. Let's navigate it, get the win.
Rick, I disagree slightly. One of our wingers got sent off for getting way too carried away. Because
he got the fucking memo, didn't he? No one else did. He knew.
Yeah, but...
What were Mavadidi doing? He had like a 0% pass percentage. Well,
didn't Mavadidi throw a ball into the crowd or something?
Someone lobbed he was about to take a corner and they lobbed a ball and it hit the ball on the corner spot and knocked it off. I mean, if that were a snooker shot, it would have been unbelievable.
But I disagree. And we, you know, we'll probably talk about performance and the referee, but I mean, Mavadidi should have been booked for that and he wasn't. And then 5-10 minutes later, one of their lads did a similar thing and he got booked. Won't surprise you that I went down to the concourse and missed pretty much everything. Although one lad was shouting off the top, he said, "We've got a pen, lads, we've got a pen." So I ran up, got pelted with a few lighters when we scored, and then went back down. And then someone
missed the sending off.
Yeah, and he goes, "We're down." And then I thought, oh, it's got to be, I thought it'd either be the centre backs or Abdul. But yeah, I mean, you know, if you're from Hinckley Nuneaton, and I live in Lutterworth, so a few of my mates are Cov fans. And before the game, my first ever girlfriend's a Cov fan, which is amusing because when we were together, she didn't like football, but all of a sudden, Cov are half decent, and she's at Wembley last season. So I said the day before, I said, "Oh, we'll give you a chance tomorrow. We'll get someone sent off." I just had a feeling because we'd not had anyone sent off all season.
We all had that feeling because I
yeah, you called it as well, Jack.
And you said you had the feeling as well. I said I didn't know who it would be for. I just felt like there was a sending off in the game, didn't there?
Yeah, well,
the ref couldn't wait because I only saw it back, but I don't think it's a penalty and I don't think it's a red card. Because if Rick's saying about, oh, it's a derby game and no one got the memo, well, we've got to get away from, you know, these challenges where their lad wins the ball cleanly and then his foot does go into Duke Hall quite high. But what's he supposed to do? You can't just stop in midair once he's made contact with the ball. And these days, they're getting given as fouls and red cards, and it's stupid.
Well, that's what I would say. It's either not a foul or it's a penalty and a red card. I don't think it's sort of one or the other.
What's the letter of the law on shit like that now?
I think he's out of control, so he's off, isn't he?
Yeah.
Right. Because it is a...
You can't hit someone in the knee and go, "I got the ball first." Like, you can't hit
someone
in the knee.
But then Hermansson came out of his box and had his foot high and very nearly kicked.
He didn't catch anyone, did he?
No, I know.
He was a bit lucky on that, I would say.
Yeah, the problem is there's such fine margins with it all. And George rightly so, like in a derby stroke. I mean, I just don't know what's allowed and what's not allowed anymore. But the ref certainly, after, because for the first 40 minutes, he was not doing a lot, was he? He was trying to keep everything quiet.
This is my point, Rick.
Yeah.
So he should have booked Mavadidi after 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then he booked their lad 10 minutes later. I think I remember Winks should have been booked as well for counter-attack in the centre circle. But like,
yeah, I mean,
he was trying to keep his cards in his pocket. So when someone says, "Oh, we've got a pen," and then they were like, "Oh, I'm not sure." And then someone else goes, "Oh, we're down to 10. I just thought, and then when I watched it back, the referee just lost control completely of the game in 5 minutes. And then he gives the pen. Their crowd are all on him and fair play to him. Well, they didn't even sell out, but it's the first time the cup final's come to town for a few years. And then the ref's trying to even it up with a red. Now, that ain't evening it up, is it? Because we're about to play the second half with 10 and they've not. That's not evening it up if you don't think it's a pen or you're trying to appease the home fans. The one thing I would say with Abdul, he's only a kid, like, he absolutely flies in at pace. And if you look at it slowed down, his studs are low, his foot's low, but he goes in so quick that the refs, a good ref there takes his time. But he was straight over with the red. He couldn't wait because he was all caught up in the atmosphere. A proper ref would actually take his time and go and maybe talk to the linesman because it was on the left back side. But the alternative is VAR. So...
Yeah,
it just you,
and then like
got
well, like,
on,
like Jeremy says here, this is great having the tweets because then we
it's good news. What
yeah, I didn't see that live again, but I saw the Twitter clip. So that's more of a red than Fatu is that tackle on Danny Ings. So it's the same referee, Darren England. And I appreciate in a derby atmosphere, you know, they're only human, and like I say, the alternative is VAR. So
see VAR, I think. Sorry, Jack, you'll probably want to come here. I'll just quickly say...
I'm enjoying this, boys, because I've got no energy. Yeah. Yes, you have. So why do I let you go?
I think VAR backs both decisions on the field there.
Doesn't check, so, doesn't change if the ref's lost his head.
Yeah, so I've mulled it over a week whether they were harsh or not. I think Fatawu, straight after we've got a fortuitous decision potentially, whatever. We're 1-0 up, maybe don't really deserve it, even though we had the best chance prior to that with Cassidy. He made it too easy for him to dish the red out, didn't he? I mean, it was incredibly reckless, and part of me, I'm a big fan of it, especially in light of what I've just said. But yeah, it was suitably stupid for a lad who's inexperienced, but we forgive him, and he'll be back, and hopefully in the long run he'll actually benefit from it, because there's been a few other potential naughty ones from him. I think there was one a while ago where if VAR, I think it might have even been the Sheffield Wednesday game where he scored.
Birmingham,
that was it, where there was one where, VAR probably sends him off, doesn't it? Well, so, not that I even want to talk about VAR because it's shit, but...
I think, yeah, the ref... I can see why he gave both by the letter of the law. They're probably the correct decisions, but... I mean, I'm pretty old school in that regard anyway, but if it's a derby game, you know, you kind of want to see that sort of thing. And I think VAR wouldn't have overturned either decision. But Rick, to your original point that you don't think we were up for it, I disagree. Because I think, you know, you compare it with last season. And I mean, my disciplinary record was never the best when I was a bit younger anyway. It's a bit better now, I'm an old man. But I'd love to have seen someone fucking do that last year. And you can go down the road of, oh, it's stupid, we're getting beat, and you're flying in and getting yourself suspended for 3 games. But part of you thinks, you know, fair play, at least you actually care. Whereas against Cobb, you know, just when I saw the tackle, I just thought, yeah, go on, lad, get stuck in.
Yeah, I think my take on saying we weren't up for it, I felt it wasn't necessarily in that, because, yeah, that challenge is, you know, there was he realised there was needle there. And likewise, Mavididi was obviously chirping away. But I felt like, and maybe this isn't the way that you reconcile whether you're up for it or not, but we just didn't seem on it. We were giving away easy passes, and we just seemed lazy, which I know we've seen in the first half, and sometimes it's partially deliberate. You know, we perhaps... A team will spend all week working on a game plan that they're not going to have much of the ball, because we're going to have the ball and we're going to be really like dictating it. And then we either offer it up to them to utilise, or we might come across as a little bit haphazard so that we can then like pounce once they've got used to a different game plan. But the thing is, Coventry are actually very useful on the ball. They're comfortable in possession. And that first 20-30 minutes, I did think they were the far better team. Yeah, when you look at the chances created, I just thought they were. They looked a lot more dangerous. Now, you can dissect chances, and they didn't. Well, Sakamoto had a good chance, didn't he, that Hermansa saved. It was more the chances that they nearly created and wasted that we talk about, where we've created some, and you know, it's broken down in the final third. They looked more effective, they looked up for it, and that's where, okay, what does that mean? All it means at a basic emotional fan level is it looks like your team's up for it in a derby. The crowd, to be fair, they fucking know how to sing a cough. But going back to what Michael Reagan said a while ago about atmosphere at grounds, and he's nailed it for me this year, the cycle of atmospheres at grounds tend to be when a fan base feels like their team is like on the cusp of overachieving, or is overachieving, or certainly after a period of being like having nothing to shout about, which Coventry, bless them, have obviously had absolutely nothing in my lifetime other than the FA Cup when I was 4. So I get it. Whereas we're perhaps...
No, we don't.
Fuck yeah. But yeah, so... I just think overall, first half, we were fortunate.
I think in the way we play probably isn't conducive to that kind of derby, blood and thunder style.
Trying to suck the life out of it, don't we?
Yeah, I do think that. Like, I agree with Jack. They were always going to start like that. I almost feel like you said, Rick, the way we play, it's a bit like a rope-a-dope. We'll sit off first half and be a bit slow and then start turning the gears. And suppose in a game like that, you get gets the crowd up, and I still think we had the best chances in the first half. I mean, the Cassidy chance was right in front of me, and we'll come on to him later. I actually felt a bit sorry for him because on his weaker foot, and he did everything right other than at the target.
It was a good chance. It was. It wasn't guilt out edged, was it? It was a good chance, and he just unfortunately slid it past the post. But
yeah, I think you should hit the target with that.
Hey,
I think you should hit the target with that.
Oh, I think you should, even on your weaker foot. Yeah. But you know, if you think about some of the chances he's missed this season, the couple at home to Sunderland, he had one the other week where he steamed through and somehow put it wide from one on one.
But I mean, the game changes when you go down to 10. I think that's just the end of the story. I mean, if we'd have kept 11 on the pitch with our second half record, I think we'd probably gone to win 2-0.
I agree. I completely agree with George.
Even in the second half, I mean, I never thought they were going to score. And the equaliser, watching it, I thought, you know, we've closed the kind of angles down. I watch it back and it squirms through Fez's legs and in. Because at first, I thought the keeper should have done better. But yeah, there's nothing we can do about that. And then the second, I actually, when it popped out, I remember saying, go on, hit it. Because it popped up. I thought, go on, hit it. You ain't going to score from there. Again, it goes through Chowdhury's legs, goes for 100 bodies and just goes in. And the third one's just the write-off. So that's not to worry. But it was just all round.
Do you think, though, that the manner of the defeat, there's any aftermath to it? You know, like, you think the winner away at West Brom in the last minute spearheaded us for what's effectively been another decent winning run bar the draw at Ipswich. Is there anything in that? I mean, Maresca is saying not, and the players won. I mean, as I say, Dewsbury Hall's interview afterwards, I read it one way, sort of listened to it one way and then another, it pissed me off. But I just, in some ways, going down to 10 men, are the way that we dealt with them in the second half, I thought we dealt with them better than the first half. You know, bar the Godden header in the early in the second half, their chance creation was all quite ordinary and basic. They were not trying to draw us out of defence and utilising the spare man. They were crossing the ball in. I thought, we're comfy here. Didn't think it was we were home and hosed, but, you know, and then we had like a cannon had a volley that reminded me of when Chris Wood scored that goal away at Burnley. Yeah, yeah. And I thought, and it was a good shot and, you know, good save. You don't expect them to go in routinely, but we'd almost got in a couple of times on the counter second half. And okay, we let them have the ball and they did what they did, but we looked like we were dangerous enough. It just scrambled my mind why, as soon as they equalised, there was only one thing that they were going to do. They were going to throw everything at it. A bit like West Brom did. Obviously, we were at 11v11 then, but they were always going to throw something at it. So to exploit that on the counter was there. So you don't take Cannon off. You know, we lost the game. Well, we lost it because, you know, they came at us and defensively we possibly fell apart. But we also had nothing going forward then, which really frustrated me because I still feel like there was a smaller chance of us still winning it, and yet we've lost it 3-1. And yeah, maybe in the grand scheme of things it won't matter, but I don't know. Seasons turn on certain results and they flip-flop like they have done this season. I just hope, and especially with what we'll probably cover in a bit on what's happened this week with lack of transfers and Dewsbury all potentially injured and Cassidy, etc. I'm just now back into my negative mode of thinking, we'll fuck this.
No, I don't think we will. And if you look at full time, I don't know if you've been able to see it, but Chowdhury and Justin and even Ricardo, their right back ran over to their end, well, in the corner.
Yeah.
Honestly, you'd have thought they were lifting a trophy. And this is, you know, I know affects you, Rick, because you're from closer to that side. But when I was looking at it, I was thinking, that could never be us. It was embarrassing. It really was. It meant more to them than it did us. And you look at,
I think that's what bothers me, though.
It is.
It does bother me that it meant more to them.
You have to look at the grand scheme of things. Like we said on the pod on the first episode, if we don't win this league, it's a failure. And they're happy to beat a 10-man top of the league side. And that's their season. They're happy with that. If they get in the playoffs, which they might do because they're a decent side, but that could, I was saying to my mates who are Cov fans, I said, let me know what time your open top bus tour is tomorrow. And it's how far the clubs have you know, when I grew up, that we played at Ifield Road and they're in the same league. And now, look, we're absolutely poles apart. And, yeah, sometimes you have to just swallow your medicine and let them have their day. And that's it, because that's all it's going to be. Because at the end of the season, when we're lifting a trophy at home, you're not going to be worried about that defeat. You're not going to be worried about what Cobb are doing. And I think, Dewsbury Hall's comments at the end, I agree with him. It's like, there's nothing you can do. We've lost with 10 men. And when you see teams behaving like that, after do it in your changing room. It's embarrassing. Do it behind closed doors. All that stuff, I just think, is pathetic.
There is a bit, and he's been phenomenal this year, Kiernan. But there is a little bit of like Madison about him that annoys me. And I just think he needs to just...
Put it this way, Jack. Harry Winks, if he was interviewed after that game, what would his reaction have been?
Would he? Like he would have just said crap.
Apologised.
Same
like he did to the Birmingham fans.
Same with Ricardo. Probably. Well, actually, you need to get a balance.
I don't know with Ricardo, because Ricardo's a bit nonchalant, isn't he? But
Nigel would have apologised, wouldn't he?
Yeah. He was actually on CoComs. He was on what? He was on CoComs, co-commentary. No, he was in the studio, wasn't he? Which was nice to see. But anyway, I feel like I've cleansed myself of that muck.
Can I make a suggestion?
Go on.
I wasn't on when we played Where Did You Come From, Where Did You Go?
But yeah.
You didn't miss
I reckon
anything.
We should play that, and we've actually got people watching, so they can play along with us.
It's not called that anymore. It's not called that anymore, is it?
What?
WYCFWDYG.
Yeah.
The best album for a game ever.
Yeah. Right. I'm going to play the theme tune. But I'd been forgotten, I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
Is that it?
That's it. We got the whole song if you wanna play the whole song.
Where did you come from, Tiato?
Right. So
it's the player, isn't it? And we don't name the clubs, otherwise it's just the same game.
Yeah, so I've got a player, because I'm assuming you two haven't done any prep.
No, well, I feel embarrassed after the debacle for me last week.
I'm going to do it two ways. But I'm going to give you a little clue as to who the player is.
Right.
An obvious clue. And if you get that, you get a bonus point. And then I want the club before and the club after. I'll say now, Jordan's not going to get this.
And what's the etiquette on this game? Because
so, have you got pen and paper?
Yes.
Jordan, have you got pen and paper?
I've not, but do you not just get? Is it not? Can you not just do a one guess around again?
Got with pen, Harry Potter quill.
Yeah. Hold up! What that out? Well, sorry, you've baffled me here, Jordan. What, like, how would that work?
Well, you just guess one team.
Rick will say it. Oh, actually, if I don't tell you, it's right. But the thing is, you might guess the same.
I think...
I just guess what Rick guesses.
Yeah.
Or we can do A, B,
D, Jordan, I'm going to make you go first, and then Rick's going to go second, but you can both guess, okay?
Go on, then.
If people guess on Twitter, then they can play along.
Yeah, but I won't put the comments up.
Yeah, he's going to switch them off.
I'll switch them off.
Okay.
Turn that filth off.
Turn that filth off.
Can I have a guess who it is before you've even given the clues?
Yes. Yeah, you can.
I think it's it came to me then. No, it's gone. Carry on.
Do you want to have a guess?
I think it might be Simon Grayson.
No, it's not.
Where did we sign him from? Leeds. Where did he go? Villa.
Right.
It's not Simon Grayson. Does it count?
This chap was born on the 25th of May, 1980. He's 43, Icelandic, current Icelandic assistant manager?
Arne Gunnlaugsson.
Incorrect.
Ooh.
Come on, Jord. Come on, the Jord.
Is this not just who are you?
Well, the comment, the tweets are coming up, by the way, Jack.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, I've just put one up. It's not Mark DeVries, Darren, unfortunately.
I've got it.
With the,
who is it? Tweets, who is it, Rick?
I've got it. Joey Goodjohnson.
Correct. It's Joey Goodjohnson.
We signed him from Real Betis and we sold him to AZ Alkmaar.
Well, I wanted George to go first, so you ruined the game, Rick, and you are, of course, correct.
I'm not sure that's I'm not sure that's part of the game, mate.
It's not allowed in the workplace.
What do you mean you're not sure that's the game?
Well, that wasn't guessing each round, was it?
What?
That was just Rick saying where we signed him and where he went.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. It needs some work, this game, doesn't it? Should we try another one?
Go there, do one more.
Okay. I missed Joey Goodjohnson's goal against Hull because I was a bit younger and I cried off that I weren't that well. And then that happened.
Oh, mate.
But he also missed Heskey's goal against Arsenal when he at Filbert Street because I went for a
piss. When he fell over.
If you want one piece of evidence about where we are now as a club compared to back then, obviously that goal was unbelievable. Watch that goal. Yeah, look at the state of the fucking pitch.
Yeah,
very bad.
Right, another player, another clue. Did anyone get this right? Darren did.
Right. Sorry.
His middle name's Rodney. He was born on the 30th of September 1971 in Hammersmith, London.
71.
I don't know what he's up to now. This is quite a relevant one, actually.
1971.
He's 50.
52.
I'm guessing he played early 90s.
Or maybe he was in the O'Neill side, O'Neill squad.
Graham Fenton.
No, began his career at QPR.
Is it Andy Impey?
Correct. Absolutely correct.
Rodney. Signed him from West Ham.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking...
No. Rick, can you play a lot? Can you actually play within... we meant to wait for Jordan and we meant to wait around first because I know you'll get it.
Oh, sorry. I thought if you get it, you then go, you play.
Rick just doesn't grasp the game, does he?
No, Jord, where did we sign him from?
I can't remember what Rick said. Did he say West Ham?
And yes, he did. So you both get a point there. Right, Jord, where did we sell him to?
Yeah, this should be the game, by the way. You guess where from first.
Yeah.
Between you.
Yep.
Or like right. And after.
Yeah.
Sorry, I can't get in it now.
Should we just play who are you? It'll be easier.
Andy Impey too. Ipswich Town?
No, incorrect. Ric Flair, you are on.
I'm potentially struggling on this one.
Yeah, it's a good one, this one, isn't it?
Where did Impey go? Reading.
No. Incorrect. It's not Burton. It's another guess we've had. Go back in now. So, George, you're back on.
I feel like he was a Cockney, so maybe he wanted to play down south.
What did I say, George? Like I said relevant. Tonight, quite a relevant one.
Oh, I think I've got it.
Has Simo got it?
No, he hasn't.
Simo,
incorrect.
What? Why would it be relevant?
Beans and little sausages.
You can't guess that, Rick.
Can I go?
I'll just guess. Cov.
Yeah, okay. No, but he has played for Cov.
Yeah, yeah. Full
ended, of... ended his career at Cop. No, incorrect, Rick.
No, fuck. Okay.
Chelsea, incorrect.
Did he get back West Ham?
No. Other guesses? Did he retire? Lived off the Wembley ticket
money? This is much better, isn't it?
Someone's got the right answer.
It was Keith Miguel got it.
I don't want to say.
Typical of Miguel, that's what it is.
I almost don't want to say them if it's there.
Well, it would, mate, it'd be a famous victory for you if you got it now.
No, because Keith Miguel's got it if it's MK.
Well, he has it if it's MK, hasn't he? But equally, like, Simo's got it if it's Charlton.
I thought you said it weren't Charlton.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, well, maybe that was a bad example.
Well, if Keith's got it, is it Milton Keynes Dons?
No, it's not Milton Keynes.
They weren't even around back then, were they?
Is it Wimbledon?
No.
Palace.
No. Staring you both in the face.
He went to Forest.
Did he? Oh,
yeah, yeah, he went on loan. And then he went to the Florist.
No, right. It's not loans.
No, he went loan and then he went permanently.
Oh, okay. That's fine then. So
you're
that's
wrong,
okay.
And I'm right. So yeah. Thank you.
You said the first one to shout out.
Yeah, I don't remember calling Graham Forest, so good one.
Liam's got it.
Yeah, what well on Liam?
He soured his relationship with the club then, Andy.
I never liked him. Always seemed to look like he didn't really have a neck.
Yeah, I remember that.
Didn't well, he?
Apparently at Forest, I'm reading this now, he was worn off in the touchline and they began chanting, Andy Impey's got no neck, he's just a head on some shoulders. And he turned round to reveal his neck.
Like a tortoise. I like this game. I just feel like I think we're letting it down.
Do you know what it needs? Do you know what it needs?
What?
What do you think it needs? It's theme music.
I think we should play it for the whole time.
This is going to be the rest of the show. Right, so it's come on, Monday.
There was that episode where Jake left the music on for like 20 minutes.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
That game's got potential.
It has. I think I'm letting it down. I think it's me.
It's like Castaway. It's got potential, just not with us.
The audience participation's fantastic.
Oh, it's game changing, this, isn't it? This is. Yeah. This makes it all worthwhile, you know. Like Keith Miguel saying, like an owl. I mean,
yeah, there he is. Patch him in. Get him on.
Keith,
come on.
Send us a DM if you want to come on. We need to get you on, Keith.
You're my favourite, Keith. You've gone up from Keith Vaz.
What about Keith Chegwin?
Cheggers, he's all right, but he ain't got the charisma of Keith Miguel.
Right, I'm gonna send Keith the link. He can come on if he wants.
Get Keith on. Fascinated to hear his take on how badly we're massacring his game.
I'm guessing you can select what tweets come on the screen because you can see him in the comments. It's cracking me up, but I can see this going hideously wrong where loads of abusive tweets just.
No, we don't get any abusive tweets.
When the cov lot catch wind.
Yeah, there's some intention seeking Cobb fans. Do you want to talk about the transfer window or lack of action? Is that what you? Yes.
Yes, please.
Talk to me, Rick.
Well, I mean, prior to the last few hours, I would have still been pretty frustrated with how it's going. I mean, Everson's gone on loan. Nobody else has departed yet. And it looked like it was becoming increasingly likely that nobody else would be leaving. I mean, Thomas has come back. The club have not even acknowledged that he's come back. I don't even know whether he's been seen in any of the videos or...
I haven't. I haven't watched anything, so I haven't seen any of the photos and stuff from training. But has Thomas appeared in that?
I haven't seen him. I mean, he gets a lot of stick, certainly on some of the social media and Fox's talk, etc. I think some of it's harsh, but he doesn't suit this system. And his contract's up in the summer, but I think we've got an option for an extra year. He's one of those players that, because we've got that, it's more likely if you could probably move him on this window for a few million if somebody is actually wants to. Because, really? You know,
would you be tempted to give him an extra year to set, potentially sell him for a fee?
Because, well, homegrown. So, yeah, I mean, I think what we could do with that is if somebody wants him and they say, well, we're not going to give you any money because he's contract up. I mean, we'd get compensation in the summer even if we didn't extend. Although I don't know how it works. If we've got the option and we choose not to, then presumably not. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to try and shake hands and just say, look, I mean, with his experience for club and under 21s, if he's not worth 2 or 3 million, I guarantee if this was us sniffing after a similar player from the likes of Liverpool, Arsenal, you'd pay well north of 5 to 10 million. Now, I'm not saying he's necessarily worth that, but you tend to get teams queuing up, presuming that they are, and you pay it. We've fallen foul to that a few times. But Celtic need a left-back. Leeds need a left-back. A few other, Sunderland need a left-back. 22 years old, English, won the FA Cup, done quite well, just probably needs a new start somewhere that actually plays full-backs rather than the weird and wonderful system we play. Call it 3 million, we'll shake hands, done. Lob the old lot on Stefano Sensi and piss it straight up the wall when he's injured next week. But yeah, I mean, Casadoy going back today is a massive shock. It's not necessarily a massive shock in terms of what it might do to the current level of performance of our team, but I think all of us were quietly confident that the next couple of months he would actually improve, whether that's wishful thinking, but he was going to have a run of games. I thought he played well at home to Huddersfield, thought he played well against Millwall. Cov game, difficult one to judge. But I liked him, and I know you don't put a player in just because they're 6'2" or whatever he is, but I did like that as an option. I feel like that did give us something else. So whether that now gives us now the opportunity to sign Sensi, he's 5'6", which is, not like for like, but he's obviously he's got no business in the Championship if he hasn't got injury problems, has he? I mean, you do not play in the Championship if you're that, you know, with his ability. So maybe we strike it lucky, even if we just got him till the end of the season in terms of playing-wise, and then next season he got back to being injured a bit, probably gets us across the line because he's that good. But, yeah, frustrating one so far. Danny Ward, I was pinning my hopes on buggering off to Sheffield United. They're apparently on the verge of signing one of Atletico Madrid's reserve keepers, so that's up the shit house. So don't know where he goes. Probably nowhere.
We was having a discussion on Saturday, actually, Rick, after the Cov game, about Luke Thomas. I find it fascinating, his career. He effectively became first choice in the Prem, albeit in a team that went down. And now, if he were to play for a team in the Championship, he'd be third choice at best. And yeah, he's the definition of a confidence player, because I still think there's a decent player in there somewhere. You don't play for England at all those levels if you're not, and like you say, win the FA Cup. But I feel sorry for him, because he got thrown into the team when he was... Was it in the COVID season?
Yeah, it was the last three games. He made his debut.
He
got an assist, didn't he, for Perez on his debut.
Did he score that volley at Old Trafford?
Yeah.
I think back then, Rodgers was playing a 3-4-1-2 or something, and he played on the left. So he played like a wing-back position. But he ended up just being thrust into the team, in a team that at the time was challenging for Champions League or Europe. And, you know, he was just a kid. And I think we had huge expectations, given that we had Chilwell before. And also signed Castagna, who was, I think, a decent player. But If you look in the last 18 months, how many football matches has he won? Not many.
Won't be a lot. No. You know,
someone at his age is not going to be that, you know, that confident. Well, like Mark says, I mean, maybe I think he's bottom half Prem, bottom five Prem.
But even if he's not, he's top. You'd take a chance on him in the Championship, wouldn't you? And you might well progress him back to being Premier League quality because you've seen it happen before.
Yeah, like I say, he's just a definition of a confidence player. And I think if he gets his confidence back, again, it's probably going to be elsewhere, but he'll be a decent fullback for someone. And with him being homegrown, if he's out of contract in the summer, I'd be tempted to give him another year just so he can try and get a fee. But it depends, you know, whether it's worth paying his wages for another year.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because if we do go back up, they all go back to the salary that they were on prior to us getting relegated, I presume. And I don't know whether he would have been one that would have got big wages. I mean, Hamza was on naughty dough for what he'd achieved when he got it. But you can only presume that we did the same with Luke Thomas. But who knows? But I think he gets slated unfairly.
Yeah, I think it's like anyone, you know, you tend to end up getting a scapegoat, which, talking of which, was what I thought Cassaday was. But I defended Cass. And I agree with Jack. I think he's a good player and he's going to be a good player for someone.
But now, fuck him.
But yeah, if you judge
him. I love how you turned in the WhatsApp group, Jordan. It was unbelievable.
I know. I didn't turn. I just, if you judge his time at the club, then, you know, he's no loss. He set his bar pretty high against Cardiff. He scored against Rotherham as well, was it?
Yeah.
52 pass or whatever it was. So I think he's done all right, but
he must have dreamt about that growing up, though. You know, coming through Inter and then scoring the third goal at home to Rotherham, that must have got the Jimmy going.
But I think Chelsea, this is the last day they can recall him, so they've taken that option. It sounds to me like we've given him a nudge and said we want Sensi. Can you take him back? They're probably preparing to get rid of Gallagher.
Well, that's what I wondered actually, because I think it's more likely to be that, Jordan, than anything else, because Chelsea are pretty disorganised and they probably need to sell someone for FFP reasons, and they're almost like, well, we need to replace him with someone. So does he just go into the squad and stick around? But
Does Cassaday count as a homegrown player because he's come through the academy at a certain age?
No, I
think you need to have been in it at least 3 years.
We've got a question from Joe. Raul. Oh.
Not a chance, Raul. Not a chance he will play.
He'd already sent me a message straight after the news saying, what's going to happen?
He's not good enough for us. So he certainly won't play.
But I'm old enough and ugly enough to know that it doesn't always work that way. He'll probably go back there and be absolutely mustard and will fucking blow top two.
You said this morning, because you know, we were all thinking, oh, we'll try and offload Pratt. But if you just said this morning, get rid of Cassaday, back to Chelsea, get Sensi in, it's just a no-brainer.
Yeah.
By the sounds of it. Anyway, like, I think... He wants quite a bit of money, Sensi. I think that's the problem. Not the fee's nominal,
is that,
isn't it?
Is that what your sources understand, Chud?
Maybe. But maybe. So he should. He plays for Inter. And from what all the Italian journalists have said, he's an unbelievable player. He's just always injured. He was in the Italy squad for the Euros.
For the Euros, I read something basically being like, Italy have got an unbelievable squad, like all these players coming through. He's one of them.
He takes free kicks.
Yeah, well, I think that's the big thing, actually.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to sound like I'm digging Dewsbury all out, because I think he's been fantastic this season. But he describes himself as a technician. I just don't think he is a technician. I think he's a very good grafter, but I don't think he is a technician.
What's he put on LinkedIn?
I remember he was always like in pre-season, like describing himself as a technician and like putting himself in the same bracket of Madison. I'm like, mate, like,
The thing with Sensi, and maybe I'm being very, very naive and sort of, he actually played 30 games of Monza last season in Serie A. So
I'm normally against the signing players at 5 foot five, but he's covered in tattoos.
Yeah, it's a bastard. He looks like
a horrible, yeah, like the sort of bloke that you go on holiday to Italy and you get on the wrong side of him and he's just chasing you around and you're trying to run away on a moped. I mean, that.
Yeah. Like, just go for a sneaky piss behind the bins and he's there. And, oh, can you out. Go on.
And you've upset him and might need to
do that. He'll be doing a lot of that, won't he?
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
If I had my way, the team would be full of Argentinians and Italians.
That is my... Actually, Jordan, I think that's... I wouldn't say that's the biggest disappointment I've ever had watching Leicester City, but I got a bit excited when we were going to sign Barco and or get him on loan or whatever. And I just thought, like we could do with a little shithouse.
I remember when we had an Argentinian youngster on trial for Boca Juniors called Fernando Pasquinelli, and I got very excited back here under O'Neill. Never played. I think he had one game in the Pontins League or something. But in fact, I'm pretty sure there's a South American Leicester fan who's really good on Twitter. I think his name's like Joe Alvarez. Yeah, that's it. And he tracked him down and actually interviewed him, which was brilliant to read and watch. Yeah, we should get him on.
My apologies for any offence. Actually, I was being quite complimentary to people that were 5 foot five because I was saying I was scared of them. So,
but that,
disrespect.
I mean, looking through Sensi's injury record, which it's not great, he seems to have like a bit of a recurrent adductor injury, which is Wilf have an operation on.
Big shagger, clearly.
Yeah.
But he also got
three children, so it explains a lot, doesn't it?
Well, how many has he got?
Three, I think.
Has he?
Yeah.
Should have had the snip after two, like me. Anyway.
Once he comes in, that'll be the done, won't it? That'll be the end of any incomings. So
that'll be end of the season.
You reckon? I mean,
I reckon we might have a little tickle somewhere else. If it depends whether we can get rid of someone else, does it? If someone comes in for Souter,
but they're not, are they? Who's going to have him other than Al Nassr?
Big Hitch. Do you remember?
I'm a big fan of him.
Big Hitch.
You mysteriously like him. I'm not sure why. He's never done
it.
He's big.
Yeah,
he's a good player. Like he's only had about four games for us, and every game he's pretty much got man of the match when we're backs against the wall performance.
January was shocking.
It was the dog muck, weren't it? And it's becoming clearer and clearer. You know, when you consider how FFP or whatever it's now called, the equivalent in domestically, but if we've signed Souter for £15 million for 5 years, if we don't want to book a loss in year and get rid of him permanently, we've got to sell him this January for about 12 million quid. Who's paying 12 mil for Souter?
No one.
Rangers aren't paying it.
But like you said, he's only played four games or whatever. So,
but I mean, he's a good player. He is a good player. Like, he's not going to win awards, but he's solid, and I think he's got a part to play here. But Enzo don't fancy him. I mean, the longer it goes on, Connor Cody, what's the point? What is the point of him?
He's the most arrogant man I've ever met.
But here's another. How would you get rid of an £8.5 million Connor Cody? I mind you, it's only over 3 years, but no one's paying £5 million for him next season. So he's hanging around. Go back up. He's just there clapping on the side. Yeah, playing, is he?
He's playing more than Souter is.
Yeah, he's playing more than Souter. I quite like him.
You've got a bizarre loving for Souter. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it.
You like him as well, Jax. Don't give me that.
Yeah, why not? Not to the same extent.
He's a good player.
He's a good player.
And he's certainly, but if we, you know, with the problem with set pieces and defending things, you know, once again, we throw the points away in the 80th plus minute. If you go through the games that we...
Cards. I don't understand that one. You might need to explain that to me, Jeremy.
Good with a pack of cards. Who's that? Connor Cody?
If Cody wasn't a personality, we'd be playing alongside... That is hard.
Oh, go on, keep on going.
20 caps for England or something he's got, isn't he?
One goal.
Colton Palmer's got some as well.
Yeah, but he hasn't got 20 caps.
Has
he only got 10? Winks has got 20 then, has he?
Winks has got 10.
Oh, hold on. I thought Winks had got more than that. Has he only got 10?
10. ER Geordie's one. If you get this right, everything's redeemed. Who did Harry Winks get his one and only goal for England against?
I know this.
I do as well. Come on. You will have been at the game as well, you prat.
Yeah, for that reason, I'm going to guess Kosovo away.
Nope.
Oh, yeah, Roy Keane had a go at Conor Cody.
I thought it was Liechtenstein.
I think it was Spain, wasn't it?
Did I Google it? Or someone put it on Twitter? I don't actually know the answer. But
what about?
What? It just for playing cards and just being good in the dressing room. Like, just, you know.
He just whinges for the sake of it, that bloke.
Well, yeah, he does. Right. Ipswich.
Yes.
Pete, lot of chat about you wearing farm gear, Brick, this week.
Oh, what, from me admission about modelling a bit back in the day?
Did we ever see the photo of Jake and his woolly scarf from the knitting magazine?
He did send it, didn't he? But I don't think we posted it. I've tried to make inquiries about whether there's any material, me and me hemp or whatever it was that I had to wear, but yet to find it, but I will keep trying. But yeah, Ipswich, well, got a win, haven't we? Simple as that.
I think we will win. I thought, well, we should have won away. Other than that absolute fluke, but I think KDH will play. I feel like Enzo's doing it.
I think he's got cold, and he's just.
He was at the snooker with me. Not with me. He didn't come with me, but he was doing something with Selby. He looked all right there. So I think Enzo's just moaning about the refereeing because he was moaning about something else before the Ipswich game about the referees.
Yeah, he's gone a bit mad. Bit conspiracy,
but I mean, looking at the training videos, I'd rather Enzo in midfield than Pratt. But as my mate Chesa Wright pointed out, he's suspended anyway.
Enzo's exactly the sort of midfielder we need because he used to score goals as well. Enzo did, and he did that celebration he used to do. It reminded me of that bloody thing that O'Hare did on Saturday that's giving me PTSD, fucking idiot. Yeah, I think, I mean, Ipswich have got their Morsi's band, and he's their sort of like captain and midfield general, isn't he? And then Luongo, is it? He's another central midfielder who's out. So, you know, pound for pound, we're probably not that bad if we have got a few missing, but I was hoping we'd go into it with, you know, we'd have
full strength
as much as could be expected. Bar Fatawu and the AFCON boys. But, yeah, I mean, the midfield, it could potentially be Yunus Atgan and Dennis Pratt.
I don't think he'll do that. He'll play Ricardo up there, I think.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I've been a bit...
I think he'll play Ricardo. Ricardo and Pratt would be my suggestion.
Pratt won't play.
I mean, I keep thinking, don't do it, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, and then I'm like, hey, you never know with Pratt, you know.
Mate, he's played one game this season, he's got an assist.
Yeah, but I know. I was going to say it would be in the 90th minute, but there was that stat from Jordan Blackwell, was it, that Dennis Pratt's never played 90 minutes for Leicester City?
I think it was, it was late on, but he came on as a sub, so...
He'd get injured ordering a pizza from Domino's. So the problem is, between now and Monday, you just don't know what's going to happen, do you, with it? You know, basic household tasks can be enough to break the man. So, well, apparently Enzo in the family stand for Monday, that'd be good. Yeah, it'd be nice. You know, it's safe for the kids.
Surprised he's not in the Union FS section.
That'd be fun. Imagine if he went in there just with a headset on,
Capo,
telling him to shut up because he couldn't hear Willie Caballero. But I mean, gut feeling, I think we do. I think we'll win. However negative I might be about it, I'm not being negative, I'm just moaning about shit. But no, I think we win.
Yep, and Southampton away at Swansea tomorrow after early afternoon. I mean, if they
he's back there, isn't he? And I hope they're revved up to stick one on him.
I hope he gets egged. I hope someone like his hairdryer breaks, so his hair's terrible. I hope he has a miserable day.
Oh yeah, I mean, do you know what? I keep panicking. I woke up in the middle of the night the other day. In the night, and Brussels Martin was the manager of Coventry City. Imagine that.
Woke up in a cold sweat. Yeah. But Rick, we'll be 10 points clear on Monday night again, and Cov will be a distant memory for you.
I mean, that's the only remedy. We've got to win, and we do. If we don't win on Monday, I'm concerned. I really am, because it can spiral with us. Certainly can spiral with me.
It won't spiral with us. It's more likely to spiral with you.
It will. You'll be staunch. You know, you'll be fine. And I like that. I respect that. You give me the comfort. You can be the man that can do the logical and sensible stuff. I'll be the one worrying about stuff.
We've not won two in a row, have we? All season.
No, we lost Twitter, we lost and Middlesbrough, didn't we? So,
lost back to back. Yeah, well, then nothing to worry about then if we don't win, Rick.
I know, but it's just the possibilities, doesn't it? That we could have shut the door by, well, not shut the door by now, but you know, we had a great opportunity from just before Christmas when Ipswich had drawn level with us. We then very quickly went 10 points clear. Ipswich pissed about, Leeds didn't win in about five or something. Southampton at that point weren't really on the radar. We had an opportunity once again to strengthen. Now, I know it doesn't always work like that, but I still panic. I panic that we let them back in.
Here's one for you, Rick, because before we go to any other business, I'm guessing, which could go in that section, but I said, if and when we go up, would you take Cobb coming up with us?
Yeah, so we can play them 100%. Yeah, I would. Well. You know, that's not wanting to wish them success, even though, you know, rivalry aside, what they've been through was horrendous over the years. So, you know, maybe they do deserve it. But yeah, I do, because I think, regardless of all the shit about Forest, whether they go down or it's boring. The stuff you read about, they're not a rival of ours. The one thing about Cov, you tend not to hear their fans saying that we aren't a rival. If anything, it's Leicester fans doing what Forest do with us, where I don't care about it. He said, shut up, you bell ends. Shut up. Of course they're rivals. They're horrible.
Maybe it would be good to have us, Cov, dare I say, Forest and Villa in the Prem, like the 90s.
Yeah, 90s, it was great. Fuck Derby, but they ain't coming up for a while.
No, I don't think they are they? Right, lads.
Jack looks ready for bed.
Bless it, he does.
I'm so tired. Sorry. I've not offered much, have I?
No, you have. You've still held it together.
Are you going to interrupt? Can I finish speaking? Okay, because I don't interrupt your question. Okay, so don't interrupt mine. Show some fucking respect. No, can I finish speaking? Are you going to interrupt?
Again. George, it's your time is now. Any other business?
Yes, I'm always late for the pod because I go and put the kettle on, but now I have my very own big, strong Leicester Boys mug, and I've not used it. This is the first time.
So is it?
Thanks a lot. It came through the post. I was very pleased.
Yeah, that was a very kind gift that was sent to us. We've all got
I like that Rick had the mug, but you also had a bottle of Corona.
yeah, I should really have been decanting my lager into my mug, shouldn't I? But you know,
Cavalio scored for Hull against Sunderland.
Really?
Any other business
from me? Nope. No,
that's it. I don't know how this is going to work out if we post it on, as a pod, but we'll see.
We'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, it turns out we're always innovating in our space. So yeah,
what will we do? We'll do one post Ipswich, probably like Tuesday or something.
Yeah,
I think that's a good idea.
I'll do my best, mate.
Yeah, you might be walking bodies, pal, but.
Not my own.
Nothing wrong with doing that. I've got to offer a helping hand around the community from time to time.
One more before we go. Sorry, Jack, but I'm just looking. Do the comments on the right, are they separate to the tweet replies?
Yeah, tweet. These are just comments. I think when you're in the stream,
okay,
this is what you can do. Like that from Mark. Big fan of that.
Yeah, because Adamski sent a message in, and so Paul said, "Live feed is the future," and I agree, Paul.
Yeah, I think we do live because I think this audience interaction is the way forward.
And it should still come over when we post it up.
Yeah,
I'm going to favourite Adam's tweet, and I'm going to put it in the WhatsApp because we didn't get around to answering it. It's a good question, so we'll wait till after Ipswich. So that'd be a good time to do it, actually.
Thank you, Doug.
We just have to make sure Sport Social will recognise the Twitter revenue. Come on, boys, get your hand in your pocket.
Yeah. All right.
I want some more beans and little sausages.
What?
You bastards.
What?
Beans and little sausages, beans and little sausages, beans and little sausages, beans and little sausages, beans and little sausages.
Should we call it that?
Have a good weekend.
Cheers all.
Podcast Network.